Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to stay with us here this afternoon. We got a special program lined up, and you can find out more about us if you'll go online to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also link from there to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And you'll also find past programs there, some other materials and articles and things. Just posted a new article there, Does the Bible Teach Communism? And so that's just put that on just this week. So you can check that out. Go to livewithpastoral.com. Well, we've got a special program lined up, as I said, today. We've got State Representative Gary Click, who's also Pastor Gary Click, who's going to be joining us on the program here today. And Representative Click, are you with us there?
I am here, Pastor Al.
Hey, it's
good. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You know, I'm going to be caught the whole program between referring to you as Representative Click and Pastor Click. Because you wear both hats, and it's a unique position to be in. And thanks for being able to be with us today. Appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure to join you today, my good friend.
All right. Well, we run into each other periodically at different things, and have even before you were a representative. And I asked you to be on the program because you've introduced a bill. People have all worked up about the COVID restrictions and the vax mandates and different things going like that, and we're going to touch on that. But before we do, if you could just give a real quick sort of nutshell, how did you go from being pastor to representative?
Wow, that's a very good question. And yes, you and I do go back even to your days as a missionary. We've got a great friend in common from your days as a missionary, our friend John England.
Yes, yes.
So you happened to see last week. At a conference. And so, and you're right, I remember the last time I prayed in the House, Speaker Cupp introduced me as the Reverend Representative Gary Click. And so, and I tell folks I have two 24/7 jobs now, and it's an honor to do both. And you know, Pastor Al, you know this as well as I do. We have a responsibility as Christians to be engaged. And I have preached and taught this to my church for many years. I've tried to live this out. And I believe that God ordained three institutions, and the very first one is the home. Mm-hmm. Then God ordained civil government in Genesis chapter 9, and of course we know that God has ordained the church.
Right.
And God is above all of those, and as such, we owe him participation in each of those. You know, and sometimes people, I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you know, Pastor, don't get involved in politics because politics is evil. And I said, well, why do you think it's evil? It's because we stay out of it. You know, Edmund
right.
Burke often said, the only thing necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. And if we as Christians stay out of it, well, then who's going to be left? And it's going to be people that do not share our worldview. And so we have not only an opportunity, but I believe we have a responsibility to be engaged. And so I often, you know, would preach and teach that to my congregation. You know, one day someone said, Pastor Click, you should run for central committee here in the county. I said, well, what's that? And so he explained it to me. And so I just kind of threw my name on the ballot. It wasn't hard to do. And I did not work that campaign, didn't try whatsoever. In fact, so much so that when my wife came home from voting, she said, what were you on there for? So I've learned if I was ever going to be serious, I probably at least ought to start with talking to my wife and making sure I had her vote. I ran for county commissioner, did not prevail, but those things opened up the doors, and people asked me to be on the state central committee, and I did that, and then and I was content doing that. I was involved in some faith engagement type of scenarios with our good friend Chad Conley, who represented faith engagement for the RNC from 2013 to 2016. I think very instrumental in getting Donald Trump into office, and he and I have done some things together, and then And I was content doing those types of things. And then some folks in our community, mayors and other influential leaders, when this seat was vacated because our state representative, Bill Reinicke, was going over to the Senate, they asked me to put my name in the hat for this. And after prayer and encouragement from many others, I did. And it's an honor to serve the people of the 88th of Ohio. It's a great district, great people, Seneca and Sandusky counties. It's an honor to serve them in this way.
Well, and, you know, I really look at that and think, you know, what you said about getting involved. And when you look at what's happened in politics, I agree wholeheartedly. Problem we have is that so many of God's people have stayed out of it. We've turned over the political realm to the ungodly, and then we sit back in our churches and complain that it's ungodly. I always remind our congregation and the folks on the radio here that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said, in starting in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And that includes people like yourself, people like your local mayor, your county commissioners or county executive, your township trustees. I think it even applies to the police officers, all that are in authority. It's our responsibility to be praying for those that are serving in government positions.
And I think James said something about faith without works is dead.
Yes, yes.
The Bible tells us, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin.
Right.
And so if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, and
there were two heroes of mine going back in history were the Muhlenberg brothers. John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg was a Lutheran pastor. Mm-hmm. Just on the edge of the, right during the time of the Revolution. And he preached out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. He pulled back his ministerial robe, and underneath was a military uniform. There's actually a statue of this in the Capitol building. And he said, now is the time to fight. Who will join me? He walked to the back of the auditorium. 300 men followed him and joined. He became a very trusted friend and a general and an ally to George Washington. But when he did that, his brother, Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg, severely criticized him. And he said, you know, dear brother, you're a clergyman, and you should not be engaged in this. You should focus on the spiritual needs. And he said, yes, I am a clergyman as you, and I respect that position. He said, but I feel like God's calling me to do this. He said, not to do this would be to disobey God. And he went ahead and did it. And shortly thereafter, his brother, Frederick Augustus, who was pastoring, the British began to use his church for a stable for their horses. And he realized that you may not be interested in politics, but the politicians are interested in you. And he changed his tone, and they both went into the first legislature after independence. And Frederick Augustus actually became the Speaker of the House. He was the very first Speaker of the House of Representatives, was Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg, a pastor.
Right.
And his signature is on the Bill of Rights.
Well, maybe we'll get you into that speaker's position one day.
Well, but it's all in God's hands,
yeah,
in the people's hands.
Yeah, but you know, that's a great lead into what we're talking about today, because I've often told people at our church and on the radio that we have threats to our liberty. And, you know, from having been in the military myself, I look at threats as something you want to fight that or defend against it as far away from that which you want to protect. And I want to protect the sanctity of our churches. I want to protect the freedom of God's people to come together in accordance with God's word, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together, and to be able to preach and teach the word of God and see people saved and see people trained up in the scriptures. Amen. To go out and make a difference in the community, because we're called to be salt and light. But if we wait until the battle comes to the church doors and they're stabling horses in our church, like you shared there, it's too late, really, at that point. We need to fight this when it's further out, we need to
be proactive rather than reactive.
Exactly, exactly. And so with that in mind, you know, I know a number of churches last year during the beginning of the pandemic, and there was a lot of conflicting information. A lot was not known, and we certainly know more now. But a number of churches, they did close, and some did voluntarily, some did because they thought it was wise, but some did in protest because they were being forced by the government to close. And we're not going to rehash all of that, but everybody was looking forward to the day that we'd have a vaccine and we could all be back to normal. Well, now we've got the vaccine. We've had it for nearly a year now, and things aren't quite back to normal, are they?
Wow, normal?
Yeah. What is that?
And I'm not accepting this new terminology of a new normal.
Right.
That does not work for me.
Exactly.
And you're right. And, you know, early on, the reality of it is we did not know what we did not know. And I know many churches acted precautionarily and would do things, you know, they went online as a temporary response, or some, you know, we had someone bring in a flatbed trailer and we were outside preaching across the radio to people sitting in their cars in the lawn chairs. You know, we didn't want to be unwise in this, but at the same time, we still, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the Lord, as the manner of some is. But after a while, the mandates in some places of the country were ridiculous, and people were being, the governors were going out to these big balls and these big parties and social events and then telling churches to stay home. You could go to a lot of places. You could go to the bars and the taverns, but you couldn't go worship Jesus. And that's absolutely wrong. And they were threatening with major fines, imprisonment and things like that, at least in Canada. I know there's a pastor thrown in prison for this, and yet people were going to Walmart.
Yes.
In those places. And there was absolutely no consistency. And it really, what it did is it highlighted a worldview for some, not for all, certainly not for all, but for many, that church was not necessary. Some businesses were declared essential and others were unessential, and church was deemed unessential for many people.
Mm-hmm.
And even forbidding you, if you did meet, to sing.
Yes.
And, you know, God forbid that we praise the Lord. Amen.
Yeah. We had a church in our area where I'm at in Richfield that they said, well, when we're allowed to have services, we'll come together in certain small groups and we're not going to sing, but you can hum. And I was kind of missing that. It must be a different version of the Bible. You know, we're talking about speaking yourselves, you know, songs and spiritual hymns and all that. I missed the humming in there somewhere. It was.
my church would probably appreciate it if I hummed more than I sang, because I'm not that great at singing, brother.
Yeah.
But I always remind people, it says a joyful noise.
Yes, that's what we do, a joyful noise.
Later, amen.
Yes, exactly. Amen to that. Well, you know, now we're looking at this situation. It's a new situation now that we're facing, where many places are demanding that you show proof of vaccination to be able to do things. I have a church that they said if you're vaccinated, you can come into the services, but if you're unvaccinated, you're welcome to sit in your cars in the parking lot and listen over the loudspeaker. It's kind of ironic because their sign says all are welcome. Some are just more welcome than others.
Almost all, yeah. Some are more welcome than others, no doubt.
Yeah, but, you know, so we have this situation, and this week and next week we see that in many parts of the country, there's in many different companies and private as well as government organizations are going to lay off or fire those who are not vaccinated and demand vaccinations in order to work. Some places demanding vaccinations in order to come into a restaurant or to assemble in groups, different things like that. And so we've seen here in Ohio a pushback. There's been a couple of bills that have been put forward. I remember Representative Jennifer Gross, we had her on the program a couple of months ago with House Bill 248. An attempt to respond to this. And then you have your bill, and that's 411, I believe. And then, what was it, just a few weeks ago, we had that surprise bill, House Bill 435, that shot in there, burnt like a meteor for a few days, and that seems to have burnt out. I think they were trying to, you know, my opinion was they were trying to push that through, hoping it would pacify the masses. But you have a bill that you introduced to deal with this, and what is your bill and the name of it, and how will it help in this situation?
Okay, so let's take a thank you so much for bringing that up, and let's take a broader view on this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, I subscribe to that idea that it, you know, there's no limit to what you can do if you don't care who gets credit for it.
Right.
So it's not about my bill per se, and it's probably not going to be my bill. But I can talk to you about my bill, but I'd like to just even talk about all the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, initially when this came in, you know, when I started running for office, I had no idea that this would be a defining issue.
Right.
Of this legislature. I think this is the most important issue that we will deal with in the 134th General Assembly, though.
Mm-hmm.
And as it started off, this was one of the things that was troubling a lot of people. And so I said, I've got to put something to paper on this. We've got to get some kind of a bill. I was trying to do some research to see what was legal. What was HIPAA? How did HIPAA apply? Did HIPAA apply to this situation? And the truth is HIPAA only applies to, as I understand it, your medical provider and your insurance companies. It does not provide... It does not apply to other people, such as your employer and so forth, which is interesting. And so my concept was to be very targeted and very specific. I know that there are people who have questions about all vaccines, and I certainly respect that. I believe in medical freedom, you know, period.
Right.
However, this issue is erupting over this issue, and we had to be focused on this in order to get everyone on board. And so I made it, you know, COVID specific, and my bill was to said basically it's sort of a different version of don't ask, don't tell,
right?
And it's called the Individual Privacy Anti-Discrimination Act, and basically all it says, it's just I think the brilliance of it is its simplicity, is that you just can't ask me if I have a vaccine or if I've had the vaccine or not. It's
right.
None of your business. And so my employer can ask, the school can ask. No, it's no one's business whether I have been vaccinated or not vaccinated. Because see, it's not pro-vaccine, it's not anti-vaccine, it's just pro-privacy. Because
mm-hmm.
I am not opposed to the vaccines personally. I know many people who are, and I
right.
respect that, and they have that right. So I'm not pro-vaccine, I'm not anti-vaccine, but I'm pro-liberty and I'm pro-freedom, and I believe that. You know, from what I've seen, there are some risks to the vaccine. I'm not saying that you should never take it. I just say there's some risks. There's risks to everything you do. Every medical procedure you go, every prescription you have, every over-the-counter drug you buy, it says, you know, may cause these symptoms. And this certainly is true for the vaccines as well. And if there's a risk, then you, as the individual, should be able to examine that risk and say, is it worth it? I think there's risks to not taking it as well. There's risks mm-hmm. both ways. So you, as an individual, should be able to calculate that risk and make up your mind. And no one, it's really no one's business. I mean, they don't ask me if I'm taking blood pressure medicine. You know, can you think of how insulting it would be to ask a lady before, you know, at her job, are you on birth control? That's mm-hmm. none of their business.
Yeah,
and they don't need to know that stuff. What other drugs are you taking? Your medical history is no one's business but yours.
Mm-hmm.
And as we see now, again, I'm not anti-vaccine, but we also see now that there are people who have had the vaccine who can still transmit the virus. They can still catch the virus. They can still transmit the virus. And, you know, God rest his soul, we thank him for his service to our country. But Colin Powell is fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he passed away. I have a friend who's a physician who has been vaccinated, and he's had COVID twice since being vaccinated.
Mm.
And so there's, you know, a lady in her obituary, her family blamed all the unvaccinated people because she was vaccinated and she caught it and she still died. And the question is if the vaccination doesn't protect you, if your own vaccination doesn't protect you, what makes you think my vaccination is going to protect you?
Right.
There's just some circular logic involved in that. And everyone should be free to make their own choices. So HB 411 was the Individual Privacy Anti-Discrimination Act. It just said, it's no one's business. You can't ask me. And if you can't ask me, then you can't mandate it either, by the way. It's just common sense. But as I had that bill came out just while I was working on the research and the language. Jennifer Gross came out with her bill, HB 248. We had some conversations on HB 248, and I decided, you know, I don't want to confuse the system with too many bills. I'll just co-sponsor her bill. I liked mine better, but she already, you know, she had some steam going. I thought, I'm just going to stay out of the way and let her run that bill. And Al Catrona also had a good bill out dealing with vaccine passports and so forth, and I signed on to that bill as well. Because it really doesn't matter if it has Gary Click's name on it or someone else's name on it. Let's just protect the people. Who cares who gets the credit? Let's just protect the people. As it turned out, I think just some things along the way with 248 is it was very, it was a little overreaching. It's still a good bill, but if you're trying to get something accomplished, I believe in the art of the achievable. What can you get across the finish line? What can you get done? And it was not limited to COVID-19. I had some conversations with my friend Jennifer about the fact, because really there were three exceptions in that one. And one was natural immunity, one was for medical reasons, and then one was for religious exemptions. And my view is you shouldn't have to explain why you don't want the vaccine. I don't think you ought to have exemptions. I think it's, I told Jennifer, I said, you know, the Constitution is my exemption. She said, you know, I like that. She in the sub bill, it was written that way. But along the way, in testimony, and I, you know, some people want to assign blame. I'm not trying to assign blame to anyone. But the reality of it is there were some people who came in and testified who derailed that because they went, you know, sort of a bridge too far.
Right.
And they were talking about, you know, the vaccine is communicating with 5G towers and that, you know, it magnetizes you. And one lady was trying to put a spoon on her.
Yeah, I saw that.
On her shoulder. It's like, seriously, people? Come on.
We used to put spoons on our nose when we were kids, but didn't have them stick. Yeah, hey, we're rapidly running out of time. We got a little under 3 minutes to go. Let you know, it goes fast, doesn't it?
Boy, it does. So here's where we're at is, you know, leadership has put forth HB 435. We got very, very, very close on that. There was a couple things missing. The first version was weak. The second version was much better. I was a yes on the second version because it covered most of what we wanted, and we could still go back for the rest of it. Unfortunately, those who were opposed to it, I'm not going to name names, but it was the people who don't want anything, and then it was the people who want everything, and there was no compromise. And for me, I would have been a yes. Let's get what we can. We can't throw a Hail Mary pass every time. You know, sometimes we just got to get the first down, save who you can, get what you can, and then go back for more. And that's where it stalled. We were only probably three or four people away from getting that done. There is movement. You know, the speaker had to put a pause on it. I didn't like it, but there's other business that's got to be done, and we're just struggling to get everyone together. There is still work going on behind the scenes. I cannot give all the details, but we are not giving up. I am not giving up. My fellow legislators are not giving up, and I don't believe the speaker is giving up. He's been portrayed that way. I don't think he's going to give up on this because he knows how important this is, and I believe we will come out with something. It may not be everything that Gary Click wants or Al Davis wants, but we will have something that carries the football down the field, and we will be able to get I think we're going to get the most conservative thing that we can get through the caucus and make it happen.
Well, I appreciate the work you're doing. Encourage people to pray for you. And we got a little over a minute to go. What can you suggest perhaps that our listeners can do maybe to help with the cause?
Well, the best thing to do is just to let everyone know, you know, always be kind, you know, never hollering and screaming doesn't get anything done. And that's what I see a lot of. I've been threatened because I won't sign the discharge petition. That doesn't help. That's not helpful to the cause. Get off of 248. It's not going anywhere. But just let your representatives in the Senate and in the House, both of them, know we've got to do something. Let the speaker know we got to do something. Reach out to leadership. And just keep this cause alive, and we can make it happen.
All right. Well, Pastor Gary Click, Representative Gary Click, I want to thank you for being with us today, sharing some of that information. I encourage people to go to ohiohouse.gov. They can follow more about this. It's a pretty self-explanatory in the menu there, ohiohouse.gov. Thanks. God bless you and the work that you're doing. We're out of time here today. I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Pastor Al. God bless you.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.